I just started. Okay, welcome to the Cool Kids Club podcast. I'm John Jones. With me are Zionic Freak, Vimon Josh, and Steve. And we're talking about Bao.
Oh, Freak Dark Thunder is not a tumor.
That was the best line in this whole anime. It was Break Dark Thunder. how do we start out with Bao? I mean, I guess we can always start from the beginning, but man, this is just one crazy ass anime.
Well, you know, honestly, I have to say that back in the day, I actually thought the English dubbing was cool. Wow. After watching it today at work, I got to watch it at work during my breaks and my lunch. All I could do was keep face-palming every 5 minutes.
I honestly think the worst dub, I wouldn't really say the worst, but the more entertaining dub came from the professor guy or the guy in charge.
Oh,
of the
yes.
Because, he just knew how to drag out words that just, was either over the top and made it completely hysterical to listen to his voice. He was completely way too serious on, everything. Yeah. And that made it so good.
And what made it really bad was there was a lack of turtle wax on his skull.
He did have quite the bald head.
Bald? That, honestly, he could be the poster child for cue balls. And what about the Native Indian psychic? What was his name? Yeah. Walken? Yeah, Christopher Walken.
The last of some obscurely non who cares who gives a crap American Indian tribe.
I know, right?
Apparently wielded psychic powers.
Yeah.
That apparently get held back when you wear a certain colorful bandana from the thrift store in Arizona next to the Indian casinos or something, which I think is where they got it from. I don't think that thing's psychically coded with anything.
Yeah,
they just bought it and said, this is going to repress your psychic abilities.
Yeah, he bought it.
Here's a bottle of Listerine to enhance it.
What were you saying, John?
He bought it at a local Goodwill, and it holds back the psychic powers. It's magic.
I can imagine if he bought it at a Goodwill, someone wrote on the tag, and they were just so bored, I'll just write, holds back psychic powers, and then he got the doctor in there, he's like, oh, this will help for Walken!
Exactly.
Must be
the name, Walken. They couldn't have even thought up of an original Native American name.
Well, what if they, were originally supposed to have him dub with Christopher Walken and Walken anime?
Exactly! Thank you!
Him to do it.
I was waiting for somebody to go ahead and bring
He's
that
like,
up.
He's like, you know Bao!
I am your... I acknowledge that you are a true warrior. I will even go ahead and take my manicured fingernail here and etch in my body and recognize you as a true warrior. Now, let's battle.
Okay.
Wow.
So, Bao is an OVA. honestly think it's probably the best thing anybody should see, but that's just me.
For comical purposes, yes.
I wish someone could relicense this again. I don't know why Animeego, of all their anime titles, had to lose this like a long time ago.
I don't get it either.
Like, I actually checked on Amazon, and the DVDs for this is like $50-$60, like used or something.
For the comical aspects.
Was the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure anime ever released here?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. Yeah,
wasn't the manga ever released here? I know we got the Sega Dreamcast game, which I've never played.
Viz has released some of the manga, but not all.
Yeah, they released some of the volumes, but they started like the middle of the series or something.
Well, yeah, it's Central Park Media. I mean, you could probably go ahead and get it over there if I remember correctly.
What do you mean by over there? They don't exist anymore.
What? Oh, man, have I been cut out of the loop again?
Central Park Media has been out of business for, like, what, 2 or 3 years?
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Okay, who's been playing with my meds?
Bandai I don't know what John O'Donnell's doing with his time. I don't know what he could be possibly doing except maybe being on the streets or having enough cash saved up to just live.
Didn't you know he was over there? He was over there at the sit-in.
The sit-in?
Yeah, over at Wall Street.
I didn't know that.
I want my money back, bitch. And I'm going to sit here until I get it. We'll pay on handle for anime. All
right. Well, let's try to stay focused.
Yes.
All right. So Bao is the story of a kid who has psychic abilities that I guess the science department was able to put into life.
And he was acquired through a hospital because him and his parents were in an accident.
Okay, that was it. And so, like, the anime starts out with this little girl that's, like, running through a train, and this other, like, hot blue-haired chick is chasing after her with some
thugs. Named Violet.
Violet? Okay.
Yeah.
But the little girl has, like, this furry little Pokemon mascot, which I don't know what the heck that thing is.
I think it's a type of lemur.
It's, like, a poodle lemur. It's got the poofiest balls of hair on it. I mean, it looks like a Merrill, but it's like brown or something. It does. But it doesn't do anything except sit on her shoulder the entire time. And it's like, it's able to survive all the crap they go through for that 45 minutes somehow.
I know. Right. I mean, you'd think that Mr. Terminator guy, Colonel, what's his name? He just would have taken out that rifle and just, okay, you know what? I don't like that little furry thing on your shoulder. Boom!
Yeah.
Okay, on with the show.
Yeah, but no, like her power is apparently to like read combination locks and able to hack combination locks. Like
pretty recognitive psychic S-bar powers.
Yeah, she's able to tell something of like the future somewhat. Like, she's able to get these visions of, like when the first assassin guy came after them, like, his head was popping out of the paper, and he's like, I'm going to destroy Bao! And he's got, like, this white ooze shooting out of his mouth or something.
I'm not going there, man. I'm sorry. That's a CG moment.
But
CG, we miss you!
Yeah, he's not on. He's not in these episodes, but... But yeah, like they're able to. So she's able to get to the train car where Bao is, and then like they're able to capture her. But then at the same time, she's turning this valve to like release like the capsule, the water in there, and they don't even see that she's doing it. Like you can clearly hear her turning the wheel,
right?
And they're like, "Oh, send her into the back room and keep her calm." And then Violet's like, "Okay, yes, Mister Professor."
Yeah, the professor, you know, the doctor goes ahead and he notices what she's doing, and he's like, "Oh my God, do you know what she's doing? Turn that valve back."
But by then it's too late, and Val awakens and like is able to like
pop make out
her
of the
by
the
crushing
the
chambers.
Oh no, he pops out of the stasis chamber. All the water, all the stasis fluids just flows on out.
I love how the professor there, he so blatantly points out the obvious, like, the water's leaking!
We're 4 feet in it. The water must be leaking. Where is this coming from?
Babel. No. Ikaru. He just kind of stands up in his like tidy whities, and they're not even whities. They're black, and the cool shades. It's like he's getting a suntan or something.
Oh yeah, and then yeah, so he gets up and like destroys that one guy, or like breaks his, he rips the guy's wrist off or something.
Oh, he melts it off.
Melts it, yeah. Like so, Bao, yeah, okay, yeah. So we got to talk about Bao's superpowers in a second, but like Bao leaves the train by like jumping onto some like power line and is able to like get a bunch of power from it, and then like because by then like the girl's able to uncouple the carts or the cars of the train,
right?
And then all of a sudden, the next scene, they're at the grocery store. But, like, okay, like this is more of a Shonen Jump anime in 45 minutes because it's like, Bao gets stronger every time someone tries to kill him. And every time he gets messed up, he gets stronger. And he gains, like, 4 or 5 new abilities. It's like using, I think to put it in Pokemon terms, like, you were to use that stone or that medicine.
the evolution stone.
It's something like that, but like it's like the PP candy or something, but like it's like every time he gets stabbed, it's like overdosing on those, and he gets like 20 or 30 like, you know, power levels higher than what he was 5 minutes
ago. Steroid power up.
Yeah. So but no, they're able to, like, it's funny because they're able to turn this comparison to how stronger he gets, like, cuz the assassin stabs him and then hit, and then
you know, he hears this.
The little girl, like, jack that motorcycle from the guy and ride off. And then, like, the assassin guy, he's got, like, purple skin or something. I don't know if they were trying to make him, like, half black. I don't know.
Perhaps Zentradi.
Or Zentradi, or just came out of, like, he's got, like, he took a really bad reaction to, like, a tanning bed. I don't know.
I know, right? Honestly, he looks like an Oompa Loompa.
Yeah. But he's, like, a 6 foot tall Oompa Loompa, too.
And he was albino. Did you notice that? He was an albino, too. White hair, the eyes. Yeah, gotta notice the eyes.
Or he really likes blonde hair, or, you know, getting a hair dye or something. I don't know, but...
Blonde, yeah.
But, no, it's funny, like, when they... Because apparently there's a scene where Bao and the girl are at this gas station, and then the assassin shows up to kill him, but at the same time this is happening... So, like, back at... All right, so at the same time this is happening, there's a base where Bao came from, and we're doing all these experiments, and they got the doctor and the violet girl. And
then we get, like, assistant.
The assistant. And then we get this, like, Colonel Lando, or...
Yeah, who's actually really a Terminator.
Yeah, he's, like, he's a cyborg robot Terminator guy. But... Well, we got to get to him too. But anyways, like, they have a committee to for the professor to, like, you know, show this committee of like three guys, like, the powers of Bao. But these three guys, to hide their identities, they have these gold like masquerade masks on.
I know, that was the hilarious part. It's like,
I know
what Microsoft. We've got Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, and that guy from Linux.
All investing in the Bao program, and they're like, can we add this to an app to an iTouch?
Or a droid? This
program be to an app, perhaps, could we say? And then we got Bill Gates is like, can this go into the next Windows system? So, like, every time
Windows phone.
Your computer turns blue and shoots out, like, needles at you. No. Like... If the Bao system was able to be put into computers, like, every time you kick the thing for being a worthless piece of crap, it evolves and gets stronger, but then, like, shoots...
Because you're a more worthless piece of crap.
It's the only way the system can update. But, no, anyways, but, like, there's like, this dog, and I guess I call it Bao's dog, because it's a dog that has the same powers as Bao.
It's Terminator Ren Tin Tin.
Or Bao Lassie.
They actually call the dog a Bao, don't they? Like, it's some sort of thing you can become.
Right. To the parasitic worm.
Yeah, it's pretty weird.
This thing looks like a leech with an umbilical cord on it.
I just know, like, when you turn into Bao mode, you get, like, the coolest looking blue spiky poofy hair ever.
And it's all because of this little space herpes looking worm.
Yeah, and but then anyways, like the lion killed the dog first, and then the dog turned into
a tiger.
Wild dog, and then it killed the lion, and then it got
Saying lion, it's a tiger.
That's
it
right.
It was a Bengal tiger.
It was a liger.
Oh, gosh!
What tiger?
But then, like, Pedro.
And then the commando goes in there and like shoots the bow dog in the head. But I like the part where like this didn't make any sense when like the professor yells at the assistant to open like gate E17, and there's only like one metal door in that entire room. I'm like, what are the doors you have in there that you have to label it? Just tell her open the door in the room that we're watching the dog kill the tiger at.
I know, right?
Like you don't have to necessarily tell her the number of the door. Like, is your assistant really going to screw up and open up another door, like, a few rooms down? I mean, like, there's only one door you guys are looking at. You got to know what door that is.
Yeah.
I don't know, but... And actually, like, the scene that's coming up next that I'm about to describe, I actually showed this when I did a panel at Animazement. I covered that in my Animazement coverage thing, like back in the summer. If anybody cares to go back that far in our history for this podcast, but so anyways, like the assassin dude shows up at the gas station, and again, you know, slices the kid's neck and stabs him again, and then of course, like he gets knocked back, and then like the assassin dude's like, well, I'm just gonna burn the gas station down, and he has already backhanded the little girl, and then the kid turns into Bao, and then he's able to like levitate himself up on like the balls of his heels somehow. And then like the guy goes to the guy has the matches, and he goes like to strike at him.
Like, here's the funny part. You see these dramatic pauses. I mean, at any point in time, Bao could have got up, grabbed him by the neck, just melted the neck, bang, dead.
Yeah. I don't know, but like he grabs the hand of the guy who has the match in it, and it's able to melt the guy's hand off, which the match is still going on at the same time. So when the hand flies off, it catches the gasoline on the ground, in which the guy runs out of there holding his wrist and getting into his 1950s car. And he's able, so then Bao's able to grab the girl and run out of the gas station before it just explodes.
And I got to point out, the funny part about this, about these scenes here, if you're looking at the subs, it says petrol, not gas station. The petrol station. Wow.
I don't know. Like, I know Animego is based in America. I don't know why they would call it petrol unless someone else subbed this.
Yeah, they call it that in, like, Europe. I don't know if they call it that in Japan, but...
petrol. Most people go, yeah, the gas station. And it's not, it wasn't even really a gas station. It was a convenience store gas station.
Like, in the middle of nowhere, too.
Yeah, exactly.
But, no, that's not even the craziest part. So then, like, apparently part of Bao's superpower is that he's able to do flips and, like, able to jump. It's weird how this camera angle, you know, panders, because, like, you see him flip in air, but he's able to push off of something in the air to make himself backflip further to the car while it's getting away.
It's double jumping.
Yeah, but it's like double jumping in midair. Like, I don't know. But Bao is able to land on the car and use his powers to basically, like, shred, like, pull the car apart from the hood.
No, not the hood. He went ahead and he took his hands, went in through the roof, opened it up, and grabbed the dude by the head and just started to melt his head.
Yes, so Bao's superpower is to turn human flesh into silly putty.
I think it's actually what they were trying to go ahead and relay was that he's got some type of electrical psychic power. Is what
I mean,
I've seen Scanners. I mean, I've seen a lot of S-Bar movies. That's basically what they were trying to go ahead and get across to the audience. But it didn't come off well, because honestly, throughout the whole 45 minutes, the dubbing sucked, but it did. It sucked nasty butt, too.
It's still an enjoyable laughing
it
dump.
Is. It's a laugh fest is what it is.
If you want to watch Bow and take it seriously, then don't watch the dub. But yes, if you want to watch Bow and you don't really care, you just want it to be enjoyable, watch the dub.
I mean, this makes anything done by Carl Masek look good.
It puts those Robotech dubs to shame.
Yes, very much so.
No, but that's not even the craziest part. So the car crashes into like more gas barrels, and the car explodes. But you hear the guy yelling, and he's already dead. His face is gone. There's nothing he could possibly yell at. But in the dub, you can still hear him yelling. Yes.
Oh wow. I'm dead, and I'm yelling from as I float. Hell.
My face is turned off while I'm in an engulfed in flames in my car, but I still have to yell because of intense pain, but I should be dead.
I'll get you, Bow!
But, what was it? Later, apparently, Colonel Landau, I don't know, but he goes after Bow with his special forces unit to, this abandoned,
tenement.
Yeah, sediment apartment complex or something. And so they're actually able to go in there and
upstairs and
yeah, they got the same weapons as they're used in the first Predator movie. You have the machine gun, the M16 with a grenade attachment on it.
Here's the stupid part. You see the flamethrower going ahead and burning through the door. And there's Ikaru and Samuri, aka Violet, standing there just the derp.
Why is that door glowing all of a sudden?
And then going ahead and melting. And the guy, the special forces guys are looking through. Hey, it's Bow.
Well, they didn't really look. As soon as the guy melts the hole in the door, he goes, take him out. And the guy just shoves his M16 and shoots a grenade off in there.
And of course, Ikaru, not Bow yet, in his Bow form yet, just stands there. With Samuri, and it is it takes him a total of 6 seconds to actually react. Oh shit! I think we should move.
They only took it seriously when they see the freaking machine gun come through the hole that just got burnt with a grenade launcher sticking out of it, and they're thinking, "I think we should really move now." I don't know about you. So they shoot the launcher grenade off in there, and some special forces guys come in there, and they shoot at the place with 3 million bullets. And so then Bow is able to before he becomes Bow, he's able to jump off the bridge, or not the bridge, but the patio or whatever, or the Terrence. And then they're able to fall 4 or 5 floors or something
like
that.
Oh, and he caught a bullet in the head. Remember that.
Yeah, because they're saying if we shoot a bullet in his head, he should be down. But then they're looking down he must be down there somewhere. And then all of a sudden he's in the sky for some reason. And he's just
up. They look down. There's Samuri down there. And they're all okay, well, she's down there. Where's the kid? And then he actually jumps out from one of the other floors from below on up.
Okay. But no, the first guy he sees, he's able to rip his head off from his neck. Tearing two beef jerky sticks apart. It's the guy's head was made of the same material.
Nom.
And all gore and bloody detail.
Nom 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 nom.
And then he's able to throw that other guy through the wall. And then there's the other two guys, which apparently he's able to use needle attack. No, he's able to grow knives out of his forearms.
He went ahead and got forearm blades like the guy.
Yeah.
That's where that was from.
Yeah, so then after the second guy gets attacked by the forearm blade, there's that whole Shonen Jump name of the attack that Bow used for 10 seconds, and the guy doesn't move.
Exactly.
I don't really consider it a freeze frame. It's the guy was I think the guy was in shock of what in the hell just happened? And then as soon as I'm sure, I don't know, but then he gets decapitated after 10 seconds, after we see the longest caption title for an attack. it's longer than what it should be.
You know what he should have done? What he should have done was, what Bow should have done was call out his attack name like Ken does, and Fist of the North Star.
Well, Rurouni Kenshin does that too. Like,
well,
all...
no, well, yeah, but I meant like,
yeah,
because a lot of these fight scenes remind me of Fist of the North Star.
Well, it's minus the
Yes.
But okay, so that's not even the so yeah, this anime just gets better and better by one upping itself, because then we get to see the Colonel guy, and he's able to take the girl with the machine gun, and then Bao's able to shoot him with needle attack or poison sting or something.
And then we realize, you know, he's got a robot, he's got a cybernetic hand. And then Bao goes ahead and shoots a whole beret right at the at half of the Colonel's face.
Yeah, that's it.
Then he looks like Hikoto no Ken Terminator.
No, but then not only that, he starts sounding robotic. Like, he sounds like he's, I mean, the guy sounds like a machine anyways, but he's got that robotic cyber voice once the skin falls off.
Well, we'll just pretend that one of the needles hit one of the voice actuators. And that's why he's got that kind of that teen.
But would the voice actually be on the outside of the guy's skin or something?
No, because remember, like, part of the neck was there.
Penetrate his robot.
Part of the neck was exposed. Remember?
It was.
Yes. So there.
All right. Well, I didn't notice that, but not only does this guy is a cyborg, but he's got his superpowers of having a jetpack that transforms into a hang glider.
I know, right?
He's able to fly off to the base. You're like, the first time I saw this, I was just like, what? He's got a jetpack, and then he turns into a hang glider, and I'm like, what? It's a glider! What the fuck is this anime?
Doobie-doobie-doop. Doobie-doobie-doop-doop-doop. Doo-doo-doo.
Inspector Hambo.
Inspector Lambo.
Oh, but, so anyways, like, apparently Bao is able to go to the secret base because they're holding the girl there,
right? And she's in a room where it's acoustically Dolby sound, surround sound stereo, so she'll call out to him.
Like, it's also got like 300 laser cannons in there too when he goes to rescue her, but we'll get to that later. But anyways, like, Bao decides to infiltrate the base by climbing up the mountain, or the cliffside.
Yeah. Not the caves that were underneath the laboratory. Oh, no. Element of surprise.
Yeah, because Bao was just going to not take the easiest way to get caught. Yeah. But he was just going to climb up the mountain and take his sweet time to get inside the base that way. But not only that, but Colonel Orlando or whatever, like, has a gun that shoots an explosive bullet. And not only that, he's able to use his eye. Yeah, it's the scope of the gun is able to fuse to his eyeball. And we get to see it in cool cyber detail. And so then he's able to shoot the bullet. And this is just another, like, physics gone wrong, because, like, you know, a bullet travels pretty darn fast.
Yep.
But at the time he shoots the gun, Bao has enough time to lift his arm up and shoot this big blue light at the bullet to able to project it back.
Repulsor blast. It's a repulsor jolt.
But then Lando is able to see the bullet through the scope, and he's like, it's the explosive shell, and then it hits the helicopter and explodes. I'm thinking, like,
You know what would have been the perfect caption for that one as the helicopter exploded?
I don't know.
I love you, Brian Mason. Another Jenna moment brought to you by me.
So, yeah.
Well, you should add something to this, Josh, because, I mean...
But what part of the OVA are we at now?
We're about two-thirds of the way through.
Yeah, we're at the part where he infiltrates the base, and he just destroyed the Colonel Terminator guy.
Ah, yes. So we're up to the part where he meets Walken, right?
Yes, as he's trying to search for Samuri.
Apache Christopher Walken.
Yes. Walken the Warrior.
Psychic Warrior. Well... Yeah, I don't really know. I don't really know what to add to this, but I don't know. Like, I mean, when the chief there, well, I mean, where Walken was carving the thing to his chest is like, I mean, is Bao supposed to know what this means?
I know, right? I mean like, the entire time he could have been like kicking his ass.
I think Walken was trying to pull a whole Billy move where, like, you know, in the first Predator movie, like, Billy was able to, like, make a warrior carving on his chest with that huge knife that he had. So I guess this is, like, the Bao version where he has to carve, like, an Indian emblem on his chest using his fingernails. I don't know, but...
It was silly and it was a filler.
Yeah, it really didn't serve any purpose, but like him and so yeah, Walken and, you know, Bao face off, and Walken's power is to like basically morph the floor and like make it all bubbly and stuff.
Molecular something or other.
Yeah, it doesn't really matter, but so then Bao's arm is stuck to the wall, and Walken's gonna like come up in there and like beat his, you know, he's like, you know, I got you now, Bao. And then Bao's able to.
Well, don't forget, the wall is made of iron, and that's why Bao couldn't go ahead and generate electricity to go ahead and just fry Walken's butt.
Okay. So, wait, so iron is not conductive electricity, or I thought it was?
It absorbs electricity.
It does, okay. I just want to make sure we had this right. But,
right.
So then, anyways, Bao's arm is stuck to the wall, but then Bao's able to, like, you know, punch his arm off of his body to get himself out, and then he's able to like launch a knife at Walken's face, and it lands right in his skull.
It's part of those forearm blades,
right? But then the knife of the forearm is able to impale and take off the bandana that's holding his psychic powers away or back, or
right?
It also sliced clean through his fingers. I mean, don't forget that.
Oh yeah, he was. Because Walken's like, I have this. And he's like, whoops.
Darn. We'll just have to call you Stubby now.
I still got my right hand to use.
For all those, I'm not going there.
Well, we don't know what hand he uses.
Hey, we always ask CJ.
Well, I mean... Usually, if you were to block something, you're gonna always use your dominant hand, right? I mean, that's usually your first reaction if you're to catch.
What if he was a southpaw?
Or maybe Walken played baseball, and that was his, you know, his catcher's hand.
Because if you notice in the scene there where he's carving, he's actually using his left hand.
He is.
So maybe he was a southpaw.
Probably so.
Wow, that's gonna be hard for him.
But it's. It's one of those at this point it doesn't really matter. But anyway, Bao's able to rescue the girl and then gets shot up by lasers because the girl's room is full up and like armed with like laser turrets. And then apparently the professor and the assistant are able to detonate the base and they're in their capsules, but apparently the capsule doesn't go anywhere because the floor underneath them falls out.
Uh-huh.
And then wind up in this canyon or this cave. It's like thousands of feet down.
It was a stalagmite cavity that was underneath the laboratory.
Okay. But, yeah, so anyways, like, yeah, so Bao and Walken are able to have their final showdown, and then, you know, Walken's throwing energy balls at Bao, and Bao's jumping around, and Bao's able to get himself a hold of a laser cannon. Yeah. And so then anyways, Bao's able to charge up the laser cannon to defeat Walken, by sticking like some sort of rod from it and sticking it into his arm to power it up. So not only that, but he's able he's able to cut Walken in half with the laser cannon, but then also take out all these like, you know,
stalagmites.
Yeah, stalagmites in the cave, which graphically impale the hot assistant of the professor and the professor himself, but not before the professor says that, Bao, you are my greatest creation and how
I
much
I love you, Spartacus.
Yeah, pretty much, but no. But before that, like, again, the best line ever in that movie, in the show was, Bao, break Dark Thunder.
Bao, break Dark Thunder.
So, If I was to name a heavy metal band, if I was to ever have a band, I want to have my band called that. Honestly.
And we could have them own for Detroit Metal City.
It could be a battle of bands with Priss and the Replicants in Detroit Metal City.
Yeah. Hey, Jefferson left. What happened?
I don't know.
He just logged on like a few minutes ago.
Really? Okay.
Maybe he's upset we didn't add him to the call.
I talked to him yesterday, and he said that he was doing something tonight, so I don't know. Maybe him and Andy have something planned, but...
You know, I'll go ahead and email him a Tampax coupon.
He's still online.
That was mean. I'm sorry, Jefferson. I didn't mean that.
Well, he's not on here, so I don't know if he's even going to listen to this.
Who knows? But in any case, I apologize.
So yeah, so apparently like everyone dies except for Bal and the girl.
Mm-hmm.
And then we have this, you know, this monologue.
We don't know that though.
What?
We don't know that for sure. We don't know if Bal's alive.
Oh, we find out after the credits that he is, because the girl is having the inner monologue. And I think Josh wants to add something to this because he said he had some sort of rant against that regarding the last line of the anime.
Okay.
Yes. The last line of the anime, and I mean, this also ties back to an earlier scene. Now, I don't know if we mentioned, but what was Bao's like regular name?
Hikaru.
Yeah, Hikaru and the girl were having a conversation. The girl guessed his age was 17, and she's like, "That's not much different than me. I'm almost 10 years old." And then Hikaru gives this look to her like, "Holy shit, I didn't realize you were that young." And it's like,
yeah, he's an idiot.
The whole Lolita phase all over again.
Well, and then the last line of the anime is like, the girl says, "Bao will return to me when I'm 17 years old." And that says to me that basically he's like, "Whoa, I ain't tapping that till it's legal."
Is that
legal laws are different in Japan than they are in America.
You know, I finally realized what that thing was on her shoulder. It was a mutated version of Pedo Bear.
What, the pet?
Yeah. It was just a mutated version of Pedo Bear.
I'm going with defect Pokemon. That's my guess. That makes more sense.
Really? Oh, you mean like a I don't know, like a brain damaged Eevee. That's what they're called, Eevees.
Yeah.
Brain damaged Eevee.
Like I gotta find a rock to evolve it.
No. I forgot. I didn't put it in the evolve chamber. I accidentally put it in the microwave instead.
I thought it was the same thing. I thought it would work.
But yeah, I mean, the 17 years old thing. I mean, I don't know. I've never read the manga version. But
I have.
Okay,
I've actually got the manga. I've been
there's a lot more.
Issues.
Yeah, there's a lot more in-depth story. There's a lot more of an in-depth story within the manga versus the OVA.
Okay, and they actually did release the manga in the States, but it's by Viz, and that was like 20 years ago, and I have some of those issues. There's even one point where they go to like a farmhouse, and this guy's like possessed by the assassin dude or something, or the colonel, I think. I don't know. But go
is
on,
this,
Josh.
Is it flipped?
Yeah, it's like regular comic version, because that's how they used to release manga back in the day. It was when in comic format.
Yeah, but is it flipped? Is it like read left to right or right
no.
to left?
No. It was. Viz went ahead and went with the straight American format.
Hmm.
They did it. They did that with Bao. They did it with Hirobi.
They did it with Cosmo Angel. Justy.
Yes.
I think Chris the North Star had the same thing. Cobra.
I think Ava was the first thing they released that was not flipped. But I might be wrong.
I don't have any of the Ava comics, but I've seen tons of them.
I've got a few copies.
But yeah, what I was going to say was, is there like some sort of time skip that happens in the manga? Like, I mean, is that what's being referred to here where he returns to her at 17?
No.
Okay.
By the way, Josh, 13 is legal in Japan. I looked it up.
Okay.
That's scary.
Well, yeah. I guess Niv really wishes he lived in Japan then.
Yeah. Yeah, he does.
Oh my word.
He'd get to see new Kamen Rider as it comes out and get to fuck 13 years old. Yeah.
I pick up all my girls at the middle schools.
Oh wow. I'm not going there. That's the universe that remains shut.
But I guess that's Bao.
Yeah, that's Bao in a nutshell.
We've got 40 minutes here. You want to talk about like Gundam games?
Yeah, I've been wanting to talk about Gundam games for like a month, and we keep going over, and stuff keeps happening. How many guys have played different Gundam games that have came out in the States or imports?
Played one or two.
Which are the ones that you played?
Super Deformed. Super Deformed Gundam.
Like what's
on the PlayStation?
Oh, like the PlayStation 2?
Yeah.
Are you talking about the SD Gundam Force games?
Yes. That's what it was.
How are those?
They're okay. They stay with the series pretty much. It wasn't too bad. Of course, this is about I haven't touched it in about 5 years.
Yeah,
but the game itself was good.
Okay, because there's certain Gundam games I have not touched yet. Like I know there's a Gundam C game for the Game Boy Advance, and I actually own that one game for the PS2, Never Ending Tomorrow, that I recently forgot that I had. Mm-hmm. And I'll probably only play like 10 minutes of it and completely forgot about it.
Oh, jeez.
But I have most of the games that have came out in the United States in terms of Gundam games. I own pretty much the first two Gundam Battle Assault games, which is the 2D fighting Gundam games for the original PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see.
The one that was like a giant manga.
Do what?
It was like a giant manga with interactive options.
This is you're talking about Battle Assault, right?
Right.
I just know it was a fighting game, but it was, I mean, it's set up like a fighting game with Gundams. And like the second one has Gundam models, or I mean not models, but like the mobile suits from like a manga series. Like one of those was in the second game was I can't think of the guy's name, but it was the main mobile suit in the Gundam Wing G Unit manga that we actually got in the States, mm-hmm. which that is well out of print, and I'm glad I picked those up when they came out. But you actually get Vandor, I think is his name, but his mobile suit is in the second game as like the final boss. It's been a long time since I played the second game. And the first game too. I know the first game you can listen to the soundtrack, like if you play it in your CD player, because some PS1 games you could do that back then.
Right.
Which that was always cool. And of course, other Sega, like other systems too. Like I know the Sega systems, like Gen.
The Saturn.
Yeah, some of the games you can listen to the soundtracks, or they'll have like audio files. I know, one of them was Magic Knight Rayearth. Was when you plug it into the CD player, it like yells at you for like putting in the CD player, and you should put it in the Saturn.
Oh yeah, yeah. I have missed for the Saturn, and it's like as I was going through seeing what was on the different CDs, I put that one in. And it came out with this really creepy message. It was like, "This is a game CD. Please play this on a game system." It's like
we should play that during one of the podcasts
on this soundtrack CD.
Yes, we should play it.
Unless one of us, I don't have Myst for the Sega Saturn. I could always pick it up now that you've mentioned it, and I don't think Myst is hardly worth anything for the Saturn.
Oh, yeah,
all you gotta do is just pop it into a PC drive and rip it.
Wait, is that what Josh was talking about, Myst?
Yeah.
Yeah. I have that for Saturn also.
I played Myst once, like, back in 1997, 98, I think.
Yeah, I played it a few times, but I kind of get stuck really quick.
But, yeah, but in terms of, I know for the Sega Saturn, I've actually got a couple of imports for that. I've actually got all three of the Gundam Blue Destiny games, which we've only got the first Blue Destiny manga in the States when it was from a Mix Media or Mix Manga, which before they became Tokyopop. And like the manga was supposed to be an actual manga, I guess, based on the games. We only did one version or one issue of it. And but the other two games are take it further in the series. And then, like, the final game, you're in space. It's really, I mean, like, you know, back then, I'm sure it was a really awesome game. But if you play it now, it's kind of, I mean, it's not that complicated, really. It's really almost set up the same way as another really good or another favorite Gundam game on the Sega Dreamcast, which is Gundam Side Story, which when I really got into Gundam like 10 years ago, like, I know one of my cousins, our uncles on that side, like, gave his Dreamcast to one of my cousins. And there was a burnt copy for that he had with it was Gundam Rise from the Ashes. And I remember playing it, like, basically New Year's Eve and, like, enjoying the crap out of it. This was, like, my freshman year of high school. And I was like, if I own a Saturn or if I own a Dreamcast, this is the game I want to get for it. And eventually I did get it. I do have a physical copy of the Rise from the Ashes game that I got a couple years later. I got it for, like, my sophomore year of high school with the Dreamcast that I got from somebody in school. Or not sophomore, but it was my junior year. But, yeah, so Rise from the Ashes, I heard there's like a, I know in the Gundam podcast, there's a bunch of guys that are trying to make an actual manga series off the video game. So they're trying to resurrect that, or at least that storyline. So that ought to be interesting. But let me see. Yeah, for the PS2, like, I know I got two copies of Xenonic Front, which is basically Rainbow Six for Zaku's. I played the heck out of that game a lot when I first got it. Because apparently in high school you have all this free time to play games. But I got that. I've got Federation versus Zeon and Gundam versus Zeta Gundam, which those are two based on... They're pretty much exactly the same game with the same game system and engine in it. I'm just trying to go off memory. I'm sure, like, I'm going to be missing out on some stuff. But I know for the PSP I've got some imports, like the... Gundam Universe, Gundam Assault Survive, and I know I got either, I think it's Battle, or Chronicles, I think is with the other one. But those are actually pretty fun. They're all pretty much designed the same, but I've gotten a lot of replay value out of those games. And for the PS3, I have Gundam Crossfire, which I actually, after playing it for a few minutes, it's not that bad. And I've also got Gundam Senkai 0081, which is an import. And it's got an online mode, actually, which is actually pretty fun. Or it's not bad, actually. And there's still people that play it. You just have to hit up the certain type of day that a lot of people in Japan are playing it.
How old is that game?
Gundam Senkai 0081, it's been out for a couple of years. Like, I got it because I've had it for about a year and a half or so, I would say. Because I got it 6 months after I got my PS3. And I got it for about maybe $50 used online. And I think I got a really good deal out of it.
Aren't Japanese games supposed to be, like, really expensive compared to US games?
If you wait a while, you can actually get some really good discounts on import games. Like, I know another game that I own is I've got another Century Episode R, which has, like, the Gundam Zeta Gundam storyline to it.
Yeah.
And it's got Macross and Ogris in there, too. I haven't really fully played or beaten that game yet. I was on one of the Macross stages or the storylines, and I got stuck on a level after I beat the Zeta Gundam story, I think. I got that game about a year ago. But
what console is that for? PS3?
What?
Is that
yeah,
PS3?
That's for PS3. I do know that I've actually have some data CDs that you can play on systems with a boot disk. With those games, I've actually been able to play Ace 2 and 3 for the PS2. I've played Climax UC for the PS2. I played that like a few years ago when I was able to fully utilize my DVD burner and get blank DVDs for it. And I brought my friend Swap Disc. That's a pretty fun game. I know there's another one. There's an RPG Gundam game called MS Saga for the PS2. It's not easy to find it right now, but like I was actually able to burn myself a copy because I didn't have any money to get it at the time. And I played it for 5 minutes and I have not touched it since. And that was like 5 years ago. And then also got Journey to Jaburo, which I got a lot of replay value out of that too. And I know I'm probably missing on a few games that aren't coming to my memory right now, but I think I pretty much covered most of what's in my catalog as of now. And there are some Gundam games for the Wii and the GameCube I wouldn't mind trying out. Oh, there's another one for the PS2 that I got off of Guzex, and it's basically just like a one-year war story. I think it's Gundam the One-Year War for the PS2. And there's an actual part in the game where you can actually, when people are into like attacking the white base, like from the Rumble Rao group or whatever, like you can actually go into like this first-person shooting mode. It's more of a rail system, really. It's kind of like sort of Time Crisis, but you have a pistol in your hand, and you're trying to defend like the white base from being invaded. So you're not in a mobile suit. That's sort of pretty fun, actually. I don't know if it works on a gun com or not, but I thought that was pretty cool that they added that to the game. But yeah, there's tons of Gundam games out there that whether or not you get them through legal means or not legal means, and I'm not forcing that out that you guys should try that, but however you play them, I mean, there's a ton of Gundam games out there, and there's always going to be them. And I know I've played a few of some ROMs on the Super Nintendo. Oh, what was it? I played Victor Gundam a lot for the Super Nintendo back in high school. And I heard that game is like it gets really challenging, but I know I beat it once.
None of those early Gundam games were ever translated or anything, were they?
I know when I played Victor Gundam as a ROM, like it wasn't translated, but this was like 10 years ago when I played it.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's in I don't know if it's been translated now or not, but and I know I've actually got a few Famicom Gundam games, but they're more RPGs that I got from a buddy of mine. Hmm. Except again, it's an RPG game, so I really don't know what I could be doing in there, except to walk around and talk to people and not understand the kanji in the game.
Is it like the original Mobile Suit Gundam?
I don't know. There's like these Night Story Gundams for like the Super Famicom. I would look this stuff up, but they're in my boxes because I'm moving out into my apartment tomorrow. So I really don't want to spend 30 minutes trying to dig through all that stuff.
Yeah.
But there's tons of Gundam games out there for you guys to pick from. I do know that there's that. I know that there's a really bad Zeta Gundam game for like the Atari or something they did back in the day, like in the 80s. Mm-hmm. Or I know like on the I think it's like an MSX game that was like that was I know on YouTube you can see like the Battle of the Bow Q or something. And I'm trying to think what others I've seen. Oh, there was one more that I remember I played Garen's Greed for like a few hours one time. Which is basically like Gundam Risk. And you have to basically build up forces and make sure the Zeon don't invade or depending on what side. And like Garen's Greed is supposed to be the ultimate Gundam strategy game out there. I don't know if there's been any fan translation of the game. That would be kind of cool if there was, because I'd spend a bunch of time on that.
Yeah.
But I played that a few years ago just to try it out. And there's also the Super Robot War games. The Super Robot War games that are in the States, which is for the Game Boy Advance, those are the original generation, and those don't have Gundams in it. But you go to like Alpha, and if you look up the Super Robot Wars series, like there's tons. Pretty much all of those have some sort of Gundams in there.
Yeah, it's not just Gundams, but it's got Gundams.
I think I played Alpha for like a couple hours and just to get the game aesthetic down. Like, it was really like I couldn't care less of the storyline because I couldn't understand it. But yeah. Like, just playing some of the game. Like, I know that was teamed up with like the Zetagun and White Base crew with them. I remember that was like one level I was playing. I think we were fighting against like some enemies from like Raiding or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
But those Super Robot War games are really fun. If you know what you're doing. I know they have them for the DS, and I don't know. I don't see myself getting them at this time. But, yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. Those are the ones I've played. So, I don't know about you guys. I think you guys already said you haven't really played too much of the Gundam games.
Yeah. We've got 55 minutes, so we're good.
Yeah, I think we can cut this episode short so we can actually keep it under time for yeah. once.
And we can always add some music and stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Closing remarks, Josh?
Ron Paul, I guess.
Yeah. Okay. Zionic?
Bow! Break Dark Thunder!
That's going to break someone's headphones.
What?
That's going to break someone's speakers.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
Yeah. Steve, closing remarks?
ACG, we missed you.
I'm sure you missed
Aw, guys, I missed you too.
Pizza! Mashed potatoes.
Chicken.
Gorbachev sings about turned up buttocks.
He would need a great deal of electricity.
There is. That source of power is contained within Bow. Bow! Break Dark Thunder! My bow, my great work of art. You are the perfect ultimate weapon.